age, it sets down like an old friend, you know, that wants to talk about the past. It just keeps bringing things up, you know. Good grief. Ought to be a law against it. Luke 1 and 26. And in the sixth month, the angel Gabriel was sent from God into a city of Galilee named Nazareth to a virgin espoused to a man whose name was Joseph of the house of David. The virgin's name was Mary. The angel came in unto her and said, "Hail, thou that art highly favored, and the Lord is with thee. Blessed art thou among women." She was highly favored, and the Lord was with her, and she just found out about it. And when she saw him, she was troubled at his saying, and cast in her mind what manner of salutation this should be. And the angel said unto her, "Fear not, Mary, for thou hast found favor with God. And behold, thou shalt conceive in thy womb, and bring forth a son, and shalt call his name Jesus. He shall be great, and shall be called the Son of the Highest. And the Lord God shall give unto him the throne of his father David. And he shall reign over the house of Jacob forever, and his kingdom, of his kingdom, there shall be no end." Then Mary said unto the angel, "How shall this be? For the Holy Ghost shall come upon thee, and the power of the Highest shall overshadow thee. Therefore also that holy thing which shall be born of thee shall be called the Son of God. And behold, thy cousin Elizabeth," in the very same conversation, the angel is going to tell her about her cousin Elizabeth, "she hath also conceived a son in her old age. And this is the sixth month with her, who was called barren. For with God nothing shall be impossible." And Mary said, now she didn't say it till after hearing about Elizabeth. Mary said, "Behold, the handmaid of the Lord, be it unto me according to thy word." And the angel departed from her. And I believe the angel had a reason then to leave, because she said, "Be it unto me according to thy word." And I want to talk about this subject for a few minutes. Welcome to the process. Do you know that this is a process we're involved in? It's a process. Lord, I pray today that you touch our minds, Lord, in Jesus' name, and our spirits, Lord. Open our hearts in Jesus' name. We praise you and give you all the glory, Father. Amen. God bless you. You may be seated. So we realize in this familiar reading, not familiar today, because it's summer, and you usually don't hear this scripture in summer. We're supposed to wait until first part of December to start reading this scripture. And so I'm a little out of season with it, but I hope you'll be okay with us reading somewhat of a Christmas scripture for you. But I think we can roll with that, I'm pretty sure. But Mary was highly favored and knew how really to handle this kind of truth once the conversation with the angel was finished. And there were a lot of Marys, literally and figuratively, in that day. But God chose the one who he knew would be able to stand on the words of the angel Gabriel. He needed a Mary that would hear and believe and walk out there and stand on it and say, "This is what I'm claiming." God knew what she would do with what he was about to put into her trust. Now, do you realize that God already knows what you're going to do with what he's going to do for you? He already knows what you would do with whatever it is you're asking him to do. Think about that. That is why it's necessary at times for us to promise God what we will do. Not so that God will believe us, but so that we will do what we're saying to God that we will do. Because it's easy in trouble to promise something to God, but then when the trouble passes, to forget that we promised something to God and say, "Oh, well, he understands. He also foresees my intentions and knows if I'm really have a made up mind." But God knew that she would do what she needed to do with this information. The message was very simple, Mary. The Holy Ghost will overshadow you, you know, like happens all the time. No, see, that's the trouble. It had never happened before. Mary, something's about to occur to you that has never occurred. I'm giving you a message here. I'm giving you some information that you really don't even have a place to receive it. If you ever, this is touchy, but if you ever received a gift from someone and you took it home and you're wondering, what do I do with this? I got to buy other stuff that goes with it. Or I got to prominently display it. Or not. It's a gift that demands action on your part. Somebody ever gotten you a membership to a health club? Just wondering. That'd be a touchy one. Here is a membership, down payment to Weight Watchers. Who in the world's going to give you that? Somebody with sneakers on that can turn around and run. But God already knew that Mary knew what to do with this information. An angel was there speaking to her. And there was going to be a process involved before this unfolded. And if we would put our minds to it, we'd realize, and I'm sure you're ahead of me a little bit here, that everything in the kingdom of God occurs with a process. We need God, and He knows we need Him. And so we reach out and we take hold of God. At a time of need, at a time where we might have a trauma in our life, and a point where we realize we're not what we thought we were, we realize perhaps we're lost, and we call out on Him, and He comes to our side and blesses us with what we've asked for. But God wants more than just to bless you and me. He wants a relationship with you. Amen. I say it all the time, but it's all the time right. God wants to know you. He wants to hear from you. He wants to walk with you. He wants to be glorified in your life. And if I don't ever get that part right there, that God wants a relationship, then He's just going to be my Santa Claus. I'm just going to go to Him with my need for gifts. But God wants us to know today, church, He wants a relationship. He wants us to buy in to the process. Now, there is a blessing that God puts in our life many times, and I'll call it the blessing of a second witness. Or you may call it a blessing of a friend, the blessing of an advisor, but I'm calling it, to sound fancy, the blessing of a second witness. God often provides another witness or an assistant when we're doing His work. You know, think about it. He doesn't ask you to stand all alone most of the time, but God is going to give you some help. Matter of fact, some of you have received great help from God that you could even testify right now that your God has helped you in many ways. God gave Moses and Aaron. Well, Moses, you're going to do a work. Nobody, I've ever, never asked anyone to do this, but I'm giving you Aaron to stand beside you. And when you can't talk, he's going to do the talking. And you will be almost like a god to Pharaoh. It's going to be very mysterious. It's going to be real cool. It's going to work great because you're just going to stand there and he's going to do all the talking, but they know you're the man in charge. That'll work out. He gave him a witness. He gave him an assistant. He gave Joshua a Caleb. He gave David a Jonathan. What would David have been like being the son-in-law to a king? David, a shepherd from a lowly family, and yet God caused Jonathan to truly love David as his own soul. And so David had an inside man. The king's son was there to encourage him and to warn him and to send him away when Saul was angry enough to kill him. That was the mercy of God there. And so to Mary, who has received a charge unlike anyone ever has received before or after, the angel tells her, and she says, "How am I going to know this?" And the angel says, "Let me tell you about Elizabeth. She's your cousin, older, of course. You remember her, the family reunion. She, you know, held you when you was a baby. But yes, it's Elizabeth. And oh, she's been barren for years, but now she's been pregnant for 6 months. And that's going to be the proof that you know." And oh, the Bible tells us Mary had to go and see Elizabeth. And when she walked into the house, the baby inside Elizabeth leapt in her womb. And at that moment was filled with the Holy Ghost. And Elizabeth prophesied to Mary. And they both encouraged each other about this awesome display of miracle provision by God. The Lord knew that Mary needed Elizabeth. He gave her that second witness. And I'm thankful today that our God is able to bring us in and attach us to the process. Oh, the process is awesome when we buy into it with everything that we've got. And my God is a great God like that. Jesus began his ministry, but not before his older cousin, John the Baptist, went out there and cleaned the path a little bit and started preaching repentance to people. And he took the high places and made them low, and the valleys he raised them up. In other words, he straightened people out and told them, y'all aren't living right and you need to repent for your works. He told those soldiers, don't treat these Israelites like you have been. Don't be mean to them. The tax collectors, don't start taking more than you should. Repent for what you're doing. Walk a straight line. Obey God. Get ready for revival. Get ready for something greater. There's one coming after me. He's going to do greater things. I can't even unlatch his shoes. This man is coming, and he's going to give you something that's a brand new baptism, but you got to get ready for the baptism. What could Jesus have done without John? He always is going to help you out when you need somebody there to be your point man, to be your anchor, to be the one that shows you the way. God is always going to bless you the way you need to be blessed. Now, Luke says this in chapter 1 and 67, and his father Zacharias was filled with the Holy Ghost and prophesied, saying, blessed be the Lord God of Israel, for he hath visited and redeemed his people and hath raised up a horn of salvation for us in the house of his servant David. And he spake by the mouth of his holy prophets, which have been since the world began, that we should be saved from our enemies and from the hand of all that hate us, to perform the mercy promised to our fathers and to remember his holy covenant, the oath which he sware to our father Abraham, that he would grant unto us that we, being delivered out of the hand of our enemies, might serve him without fear in holiness, righteousness before him all the days of our lives. And thou, child, shalt be called the prophet of the highest, for thou shalt go before the face of the Lord to prepare his ways, to give knowledge of salvation unto his people by the remission of their sins, through the tender mercy of our God, whereby the day spring from on high hath visited us, to give light to them that sit in darkness and in the shadow of death, a God to guide our feet into the way of peace. And the child grew and waxed strong in spirit, and was in the deserts till the day of his showing unto Israel. This is very important for us to understand. We are never just one single part of a problem or a circumstance. You may think you're all alone and no one knows what you're going through. Understand this. My God knows you. He understands the vast scope of your issue. And my God is with you as a comforter when you need him as a comforter. You will not ever be alone in your problem. Oh, the Lord is so faithful concerning his children. You may have walked in here today and said, I cannot imagine ever there being a light. I want to tell you, he's already got the light. He's already on the way with the light. He's going to sit down in your darkness by you, and he's going to give you the light. Can you say amen? Let's give him a hand clap of praise. Thank you, Lord. Thank you, Jesus. Thank you, Jesus. There is part that we don't see today. You're not going to see all the picture right now. Oh, God hides things from us until the right time. He will encourage us when we truly need it the most. We know that, but he'll never leave you. He'll never forsake you. But we've got to hang on to the process. There's a process going on. There's something happening. Sometimes it might be beneath the surface, but believe in him, children of God. Believe in him that he's got your life in his hands. You may be here today because maybe a coworker, a family member, or a trauma, or maybe your parents might have made you come. But you need to be thankful to God that you are here right now, because there's a word for you right now. There's a God that is for you right now in this place. Those who submit to the process will continue to be used by God and continue to be blessed by God if you submit to his process. Hallelujah. Thank you, Lord. Thank you, Lord. Thank you, Lord. Well, if your parents brought you here, you know, and you're not all about this, you know, I don't think sermons should be aimed at, you know, middle age or younger, just older. I think the preached word of God should be aimed at every age that can understand what's being preached. Amen. I thought it was kind of cool as a kid when an evangelist would say something that I understood. I'd be like, I got that. Wow. I'm growing up. First I can reach light switches. Now I understand the sermon. Sky's the limit. Seriously, the preached word of God will appeal to any that open their hearts to it. I know we grow and so forth, but there's no greater place than to be in his presence. Last Sunday was wonderful. Today's wonderful. And God's still doing different things to everyone. Psalm 91, verse 1, he that dwelleth in the secret place of the Most High shall abide under the shadow of the Almighty. I want to dwell in that secret place with him today. Somebody need a secret place? Oh, our God is able. He has a place by him for you. You know, I've been other places, but this is where I dwell. I've gone through the valley, but this is where I dwell with him. I need him. I need him. Elijah was told to announce to the king that there'd be no rain. He said, there'll be no rain until I tell you there's going to be rain. This took time to be a real threat to the king. I'm sure the king said, yeah, right, I hear you. But God took Elijah and he said, I want you to go to a brook called Cherith and just stay there. Don't worry, I've commanded the ravens to feed you. Now, that's words that you're supposed to take comfort in, but I'm sure it was difficult for him to take comfort in. I've commanded the ravens to feed you. I don't know if ravens comes from the word ravenous, but that's not the bird that I want to trust to bring me my lunch, my breakfast, my dinner. But he said, I've commanded the ravens. So the prophet went to the brook, and the reason I think that he took him to the brook, I think God is mindful of the details that we often think he's not mindful of. Little intricate things in your life, he's mindful of those things. Your fears, those things where you don't talk about it, but you know you're not like everyone else in that regard, and so, you know, no one knows. He knows all those ins and outs, those intricate parts of your nature. And he'll do what it takes to help you in those areas. Oh, I'm talking about a God who knows you so well. Loves you like no one else can love you. Balance your life out when nothing else, no other field you could go into where God will balance your life out. He will give you a mother if you don't have a mom, a dad you don't have a dad. He will take a church and that church will provide for you like nothing else could. There's no organism like the church of the living God. There's nothing that can compare to the church of the living God. We become all things to all men by the direction of God's Spirit that flows through us and unites us together, and we become what we need to be. I wish I could stay on that for a while. Oh my, there's a lot of meat on that bone. I just want to tell you, the church is an awesome place to be. Oh, thank you, Jesus. The church is an awesome place to be. But God knew who Elijah was. And if it was you or me, here's my problem. The Lord tells me, I want you to call the White House. And if you say the right things, they'll get you through. And you're going to finally talk to somebody that'll hear you. And just tell them this. All right, Miss, whatever your name is that's in charge of this particular department, you take all calls and determine if they're serious or not. Let me just tell you something. Please make note, this call is serious. I'm not a loony. Not a kook, I'm not a threat, but I'm about to tell you something. Unless America repents, there will be no rain in the whole country. Do you hear me? There will be no rain in this country. And the person on the other end has a smile, maybe a smirk, maybe a laugh a little bit. And they said, all right, sir, thank you. Please put my name down. You're going to want to call me back. Spell it right. Put my name down. I know you're not going to think about me today. Tomorrow, no. But about the time rainy season hits and the whole country's having a drought, you're going to want to find my name. So please just, even if it's a sticky note, put it up on your front of your computer. Now take some scotch tape and I want you to put it across the top of that, because this one doesn't need to fall when that air conditioner kicks on. I want to be careful that you got this. And you can kind of hear them snicker on the other side. All right, sir, thank you very much. And you know you're going to get a call back. Not today. Not next week, not next month, but in about 2 months, they're going to be looking for you. They're going to say, what did you do? What did you do? Well, that's what happened here. But God took Elijah. I know human nature. I created it. Elijah, I'm going to take you to a brook. I want you to sit by the brook and watch the brook, because that brook's going to be the first sign that it's not raining up there in the mountains. The brook's going to be the first thing that's going to dry up. And when the brook dries up, you'll know. And the next place you'll go, and you'll go in faith. See, the brook was just the beginning. The brook was that first stage. There was going to be another stage. And I don't know. I'm thankful God led me here to Lakeland. Just the name Lakeland is kind of a fun word. When I was a kid, getting to go to the lake was a fun thing. And I'd be in the back of my friend's truck, and we'd be passing by these kids, and I'd be thinking, oh, I feel so sorry for all of them. They're having to play in their front yard. Our frisbees aren't that fun. We're going to the lake. We're going to, and we might yell out, we're going to the lake. Because there's nothing greater than going to the lake. It's fun. It's nothing but fun. You're going there just for fun. I never told my mom that my friend's dad got drunk when he would drive the boat around, because she'd never let me go. And I tell you, the drunker he got, the more fun that boat was. He could turn that boat, and the water's right here, and I'm just trailing my hand going, this guy's so fun. He's chugging them back and just going round and around in that lake. And I'm like, I love the lake. Mercy of God all over me. Mercy of God. I promise you, there's a mercy of God on my life. Grew up, got married. Had a daughter, and my daughter said the other day, Dad, if you would have known what those folks across the street were doing when I went to the lake with them, I thought, honey, I was there just a long time ago. So the word Lakeland sounds like it might have lakes. It does, but they're, you know, tiny. But it's better than Zarephath. The Lord sent him to Zarephath. It means furnaces. Trust me, that's not a fun name. We've got furnaces. This is where we smelt iron ore, and we melt it and form it into things. In the city, you go in and you can just feel the furnace. It's hot, and you can smell the burning. And the Lord said, that's where you're going to go, is to Zarephath. And he's like, man, that brook looks real good from here. Even if dried up, it's better than Zarephath. But not only was the brook dried up, he sent him to a widow who was out there picking up sticks for one last meal and then die. But the man of faith, because he saw a brook dry up, knew that God was in it. My point, that I don't want to miss this. The Lord knows that you need help in the process. But see, that's what the process is about. When you pray and ask, you must believe what you're praying for. And your God is going to show you what you're going to need. He will come through for you just in time. But you got to just stand on the faith and say, I know my God is able, and he's going to come through for me. Just as God sent Elijah to Zarephath, and that widow's oil and that bread didn't run out for over 3 years. He continued to live off of one serving, one meal. Every day it was there. My God is able to do all those things. But I'm looking back in history and showing you, God offered him some help. He gave Elijah the brook Cherith. I'm very certain that he probably could have grown weary with the same food every day. But here's what balances you out when you see people dying because they don't have anything to eat. You're going to say, well, I'm glad I've got that to eat. Perspective is really important here. But I'm sometimes able to feel and to see the mundane and say, Lord, I would like a change of scenery. Let me try to paint this picture for you. We get so used to having a great move of God till there are times when it's the norm and we love the presence of the Lord and someone being healed or delivered. And it begins to be normal to us and we say, Lord, I'm grateful for it. But then God lets you go through your own private issue to where you need God to help you. I'm thankful that when we fall, God picks us up. I'm glad that when I go through the valley, my God takes me out. Therefore, when my brother comes in and he needs the God to fill him with the Holy Ghost, I say, I know what it is to need God. I know what it is to need a help from God. I'm going to pray for my brother because I needed God yesterday. See, God doesn't let it get too mundane because we buy into a process. It's a process, and we understand there's highs and there are lows, and there's times we get strung out, and we don't know if we're heading up or down, and then the breath of God breathes on us and suddenly makes sense to our dilemma. And we thank God for what he's just brought us through. That's a good thing in itself, but it recalibrates our feelings. Our spirit-centeredness to where we're right back where we need to be with God. Let me tell you something in case you didn't know it. You're not the only ones that can feel like you're 1,000 miles away from God. It happens to pastors too. happens to everybody. Because we're emotional creatures. We get a little weighty in our mind, and the switch goes off, and there's no feeling. And I woke up on days on end thinking, Lord, which way is up? And when I don't know what to do, I just keep doing what I did yesterday. I go ahead and I pray. I get into the Word of God. I praise Him for what He's done, because I cannot get addicted to the emotional aspect of this. I got to do what is right and put one foot in front of the other and just keep on going. And I know that if I'll keep doing this, I'm going to come out of my dilemma, and my God is going to be waiting on the other side. He is going to help me. And He's going to deliver you, and He's going to be there for you and for me. Thank you, Lord. If we can become obedient to the process and learn to stay where God puts us, you will see the glory of God. He that dwelleth shall abide. You want to abide? You got to stay under the shadow. Just get under the shadow and say, Lord, I may not feel it. We don't need to think we're going to feel it all the time. I'm glad when I do, but it's more than a feeling. More than a feeling, amen. Psalm 27 and 1, the Lord is my light and my salvation. Whom shall I fear? The Lord is my strength of my life. Of whom shall I be afraid? When the wicked, even mine enemies and my foes, come upon me to eat up my flesh, they stumble and fell. Though a host should encamp against me, my heart shall not fear. Though war should rise up against me, in this will I be confident. One thing have I desired. I'm sorry, that's more than one thing, but let's just stick with the word. One thing have I desired, and that will I seek after, that I may dwell. Everybody say dwell. Say it again, dwell. Oh, God, I want to dwell. I want to dwell in the house of the Lord all the days of my life. I'm talking about where I'm going to dwell, not bouncing around due to emotions, but we got to find a place to dwell. We want to dwell with Him. I want to be where I've got to be with Him. Day in, day out, mountaintop, valley. Lord, let me dwell in the house of the Lord all the days of my life, to behold the beauty of the Lord and to inquire at His temple. So I want to just give you an insight to what it's like being spiritual. That's funny, isn't it, to say that? No, seriously, I want to give you an insight into what it's like to walk with the Lord. See, you walk with Him, and if I gave the microphone, we could hear people testify. So this is not a pastor thing. It's not a pastor privilege. We all have the privilege of walking with the Lord. But He said, to behold the beauty of the Lord and to inquire in His temple. Why do you inquire? And when I say inquire, try not to let your mind go to that newspaper. Because that's the opposite of truly what we're looking for here. Those of you scratching your heads, the inquirer. Oh, checkout stand, yes. Picture of a movie star with an alien that she just recently become engaged to. The marriage from Mars or something, I don't know. I don't know everything at all times. There's many times I do not know. And sometimes, speaking to some of you, you have an issue, and Pastor, pray for this, and I don't know. And if I don't know, I'm sure not going to just come up with something. I'll say, let's pray about it. My own life, I come to places where I'm saying, I just don't know. Don't know what to do about that. Wait a minute. When you're walking with the Lord, aren't you supposed to know it all? No, I know who's all. I don't know it all. I'm limited. You're limited. Sometimes I'm really limited. It's amazing, not in a good way, that as we age, that you can completely forget. I'm joking, but we can. I mean, names of people that you just talked to, blank. And I'll tell you, there's situations that come up that I just scratch my head and say, Lord, I don't know what to do. But look at this. That I may dwell in the house of the Lord all the days of my life, to behold the beauty of the Lord and to inquire. That means I don't know. Even dwelling in the presence of the Lord, you're going to come against circumstances where you're going, I do not have a clue. I don't know what to do. But you can inquire at his temple. Verse 14 says, wait on the Lord. Talking about a process. That's the best advice I can tell you today. Wait on the Lord. Don't get impulsive. And impulses of the flesh. If the Spirit gives you an impulse, it's going to have God right there with you to tell you what river to go to, what brook to stand by. Oh, we need to be able to inquire of the Lord. Wait on the Lord. Be of good courage. And he shall strengthen thine heart. Wait, I say, on the Lord. And we know, prophet Isaiah said, they that wait on the Lord will renew their strength. The impulsive ones that run off with a message they don't yet have, they don't get the benefit, but I need to learn to wait on the Lord. Wait on the Lord, children. I want to welcome you to the process in closing. I'm thankful that God is here to heal, to feel, to deliver, to restore. But I'm even more thankful for the process of waiting on the Lord. Because in the waiting, there's healing. Because it's all about God, too. In the waiting, God gives us understanding. My wife and I have been into waiting rooms lately a lot. The past months, from the eye surgery to the cataract recently, and the chiropractor in between all of that still. And a lot of waiting rooms. And I know how to go into a waiting room now. I'm very familiar with them. I know the best seats to see the traffic outside, to not be where people are having to go by to get into the next hallway. I figured them all out. I'm getting to be a professional. But I found that there's no waiting room that is so nice that I would get up from my living room and say, honey, I'm just going to run down to the doctor and go sit in that waiting room for a while because I just want to go there. Nah. That'd have to be a real special waiting room, and it'd have to be next door or closer. But I want to tell you, in waiting on God, he has a place for you to wait on him, to be healed, to be filled today. I've seen so many ruin their lives because they wouldn't stay under the shadow long enough to see the glory. We need to abide. We need to learn to abide under the shadow. I often go back to the place that my faith was secured. The last place that I saw God, that I knew that he came through, I go back there and I get in touch with him and I say, Lord, I remember this time. I remember this victory, the battlefield. You stayed with me until I came out of that. I remember it. But it has to be by my faith that opens that door, by your faith. You won a battle by submitting to God's will. You didn't lose your will, but rather submitted to God and thereby purchased yourself a place to live for a while. It's right by him. It's right by him. We must be willing to dwell. Oh, God, help us to dwell. That means I take my will. This is much easier to do than to listen to it. It's not as easy as it sounds. Oh, Pastor, I can dwell. Hold on a minute. To dwell means to shut out my impulses. We get impulses. We get impulsive and we run. We react. But he said, I need you to dwell right here. When the day of Pentecost had fully come, they were all gathered together in one place in one accord. And suddenly there came a sound from heaven, as of a rushing mighty wind, and it filled all the house where they were sitting. Appeared unto them, cloven tongues like as of fire, and it sat upon each and every one of them. They received the Holy Ghost, but they didn't walk in that morning. Am I late? Am I late? Hurry, hurry, hurry. I think it's about to happen. No. About 10 days ago, they got there, and they said, we're going to dwell here. We're going to dwell here until something happens. And that's when the Holy Ghost fell. See, the Holy Ghost is not just something I need for the moment, but it's, Lord, I need something to help me for my life. I need you to help me for my life. When we come to God, we all bargain. We all bargain with him. See, what he wants is all of you. But we look at the church and see, well, what do you say that is required, and what does the scripture say? And then we look at our life and say, well, I don't know if I'm willing. I don't know if I'm willing to let go of some things, because there's some things I like about my life and some things I don't like about my life. I have a letter that someone wrote me. I probably shouldn't have kept it, but I came across it the other day. We had a young couple that came into our church in South Florida and tried to find something for them to do in the church. We were a small church, but I put her at the back greeting, and we didn't have anyone to greet, and that was a needed position back there, one of the most important. And she has a bubbly personality, but they left. Now, we were a home missions church. Okay, you take about these first five rows, that was our church right there. And it takes a while to build a church. You don't just open a door and it gets filled up. We'd been there for years. She wrote me a letter and she said, "We have decided to leave your church because we want to go to a church where," never forget this, not that it bothered me any, but she said, "We want to go to a church where we can feel the presence of the Lord and hear the word of God all in the same service at the same time." In other words, we were good at one thing, but not at the other. My wife and I were workers. I was employed in some midweek services. I just remember having to wear my work clothes to church and change in the car one time. And it was a struggle. But the letter, more than anything else, made me realize that even though somebody can be in the church, they don't see it the same way you think you do or that you think they should. And I let it get to me too much, obviously, because I kept the letter. But I kept it so that I would always remember how things were and use it as a benchmark and say, I don't ever want that to be an issue again. There's always a little truth in everything. And what I did is use that to motivate me to say, I don't ever want a church that we're not doing the best we can do. And we may not cover it all, but I want to do the best thing we can do to have a presence of God to meet people's needs. Could you stand? So you won a battle, and you did so by submitting to God's will. And we're in the presence of God today. And I want to tell you, just as it happened on the day of Pentecost, He can fill you with the Holy Ghost right now. In that 38th verse, Peter said unto them, "Repent and be baptized, every one of you, in the name of Jesus Christ, for the remission of your sins, and you shall receive the gift of the Holy Ghost." And that gift was not something they were taught to say to mimic words, but it came by the outpouring of God's Spirit, and they all spake in tongues as evidence that they received it. I'm thankful today that God gives us something. Oh, it's a part of the process. And when we're filled with the Holy Ghost, hallelujah, it starts that life that we live in Christ, and nothing better can be than to be filled with the Holy Ghost. Can you say amen, church? See, we get it and we live it, but sometimes we forget what it's like to not have it anymore. We forget what it was like when we didn't have the Holy Ghost, because we get so used to having it when we wake up, when we go to bed. We have the Holy Ghost. But I want to ask you something. When was the last time that the Holy Ghost had you, really had you? When was the last time you moved in accordance with the Spirit that is inside of you? Oh, let's ask ourselves this question. Lord, how can I come before you today? Oh, God, how can I go back to that path and appreciate where we were and what we were doing? God, I'm asking in Jesus' name, Lord, that you could touch hearts right now. Somebody needs you. Somebody needs you, Lord. Why don't you come down here and let's pray for you again? You need a touch in your body. You need the Lord to fill you with the Holy Ghost. Come on. God is willing. The baptistry is available to baptize anyone that wants to be baptized today. These ministers over here, these men over here on my left, you go to any one of them and say, "I'm ready to be baptized. We've got the clothes, we got the towels, we'll baptize you. We don't want anything to be in your way today. Lord, we want your will to be done." As we open up our hearts and our minds and allow the presence of the Lord to just descend and deal with minds and hearts. Got a marriage that's not doing too well? I know what you need. God needs to stand in between it. God needs to stand in that marriage, in that home, and bring peace to that home. But God wants to put things in order. Yes, He does. It's just going to cost you a simple repentance. God, forgive us. Let us get back to where we used to be, oh Lord. Take us back, God, to that place again. In Jesus' name. Hallelujah. Oh, God, move in this place, Father. Lord, move in this place in Jesus' name. My Father, in your name, Lord, we need you right now to move in this place. Mighty God, let one more person touch you. Lord, let one more access your glory, your presence. Hallelujah. Church, could you gather to the front just for a few moments here and let's go to the Lord. And somebody may want to come down with you. Someone may want you to pray with them. We want this atmosphere, as we linger here for a moment, we want the atmosphere to be conducive to someone finding their answer, finding that place by Him. He that dwells under the shadow of the Almighty. Lord, I want to dwell under the shadow of your Lord today. I want to be in your presence, God. Your hands overshadowing me, God. The wings covering me, protecting me, giving my life purpose. Hallelujah, hallelujah, hallelujah. Jesus, in your name, God. Jesus, in your name, Lord, in your name, Lord, in your name. Young couple, I want you to listen to me. There's a couple here that God has been dealing with you. Conversations getting to maybe a feverish pitch. What do we do about it? You need to be still. You need to be still until you hear the voice of God. Be still until you know God is speaking. Quieten the noise of your heart and mind. And when you do that, the Savior is going to speak to you. The Lord is going to come through and just in time. I believe that in Jesus' name. Hallelujah. Oh, He wants to be your God. He wants to be your protection right now. Holy God, descend in this place, Lord, by your presence. Jesus, in your name. Jesus, in your name, Lord, let your will be done. Lord, let your will be done right now. Holy God, holy God, holy God. Thank you, Lord. Thank you, Lord. Thank you, Lord. Thank you, Lord. Holy Ghost. Oh, God, your kingdom come. Let your kingdom come, Lord. There's somebody that's been at Zarephath. They've been at Zarephath, but they've never eaten the bread. They've never trusted you. It's time to step out in faith and say, I know my God is dealing with me. It's time to take a step and say, I need to be in the place where I last felt His presence. I need to be where God can speak to me again. Oh, Jesus' name. Jesus' name. God has dealt with some people here today. Throughout this service, the Lord has dealt with some hearts. Yes, He has. Hallelujah. Oh, let your will be done, Lord. Holy God, holy God, holy God. Oh, Jesus, your will, God. Lord, let your will be done, Jesus. There is healing flowing in here right now. There's healing. God can mend your heart. God can touch your mind in this house right now. Thank you, Lord. Thank you, Lord. Thank you, Lord. Jesus' name, Jesus' name. Why do you keep going around and around, going back to the same places, making the same wrong decisions? You need to bind yourself to your Savior. You need to bind yourself to a promise and say, God, I will never turn loose of you again. Quit playing games with Him. Quit going back and forth. But you need to establish your steps with the Lord today and say, God, I need to be mature. Lord, I need to understand what I'm saying to you. You're hearing me. And I made promises to you I went back on. Now you need to stand by those promises. Yes, you do.